Oh, well, hello, hello, everyone. Welcome, welcome back. Hello, AJ. Hello, Mafians. We have another great show for you here today. You are now listening once again to the Two Clever Mafia podcast, and I am your host, Two Clever Mafia. Hello, AJ. How was your week? Good? Haven't heard any complaints, so I'm assuming it was good. We've got a great show coming up for everyone today. We have something called we're calling the tech disruption, connecting the dots for our digital future, or I guess for the digital future. If you're not really interested in tech, I know I want to give a little disclaimer. This, you know, we kind of mix it up and do a little bit of everything here on the Two Clever Mafia podcast. And this is going to be kind of a history from my point of view, your host, Two Clever Mafia, of kind of how I've seen over the years that the tech evolution, if you will, tech has progressed over the years. And we're going to talk a little bit about beepers and pagers and Blackberries and the path kind of to the modern day smartphone. And then we're going to get into a little bit of the rise in the internet. A big part of the internet for me was the rise and fall of America Online, or AOL. So we're going to get in a little bit into that and a little brief history here and there. So kind of an education, we're going to get it right. We're going to disperse today, right, AJ? Yeah. Yeah, so a little bit of that. But hey, AJ, have you seen, you know, we're going to cut to break in a minute. But I know, AJ, you're getting ready to hit the button already. You're working overtime today. You got a hot date somewhere you need to be after today's recording? No? Yes, you've noticed. Well, I am a little stuffed up. And I think it's the allergy season is starting to kick in. It's kind of getting into full swing. So I am a little bit stuffed up, but we're going to get through it, AJ. We're going to get through it today. And but I wanted to ask you, have you seen the new commercial for Fruit Loops? Yeah, the cereal Fruit Loops. Yeah, well, they have a brand... spokesperson, I guess, if you want to call it that, Toucan Sam, you know, the toucan with the colorful, a bill, you know, the beak, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. Well, I was watching some television earlier and I saw this commercial came along and it was Toucan Sam. And, have you seen how much he has changed over the years? I mean, I don't know if you noticed, but I remember when, there was an old commercial. Maybe I'll put a link to it on the in the description. But there was an old commercial where Toucan Sam actually spoke Pig Latin in the commercial. You know what? Actually, I'm going to play it for you here. And surprisingly enough, the baby toucan in the commercial, in the oldie commercial, is a little bit stuffed up like I feel today. So let me hit the button.
Listen, have you noticed something very special about new Kellogg's Oat Free Oops?
Like, hear that?
They else may so interesting.
That's Pig Latin, AJ.
Yeah, and they smell good, too.
They tasted good back then, too.
Smart kid. Crispy and delicious day. For breakfast or for egg and snake.
They don't smell any different to me.
Why not?
He's all stuffed up. He's got a cold like I do.
Oh, boy. Well, Kellogg's puts real orange, lemon, and cherry flavor.
I don't know if they do that anymore, though.
In these crispy little cereal circles made from oats. Then oats. Spangles them with big, crunchy sugar crystals. And,
sugar crystals. You can't even say that word anymore.
Day. Try them.
I liked them.
Sparkling with ogre shade.
Kind of catchy.
I have a terrible cold, you know.
We already know that. Oh, now they just sneezed all over the... Yeah, mine too.
Yeah, yeah, and he's come a long way. He used to be kind of... Now he's got a crazy accent, I guess. They've given him an accent. But yeah, back in the day when he started, he used to do commercials and he would speak Pig Latin. I mean, they were black and white commercials. You probably could YouTube it. Just YouTube search Toucan Sam old commercial or whatever. But yeah, now I was watching it, and not that I would know, but the new commercials are almost like he's on some sort of LSD trip. from, you know, I remember from, no, I don't remember, but from the 60s and, you know, the LSD and, you know, get a lot of rainbow colors and crazy flashing lights and stuff. But, yeah, the new commercial, if you get a chance, the new Toucan Sam commercial is different than even the Toucan Sam of 5-10 years ago. You know, he used to run around. He had all the different flavors in the Fruit Loops. And, you know, my grandson told me that the Fruit Loops, they're all the same flavor. There is no different flavor. I don't know how true that is. I never really ate Fruit Loops, but I was more of the Frosted Flake guy. I kind of like those. But, yeah, I never really ate Fruit Loops. But he said all the flavors are the same. So I don't know how true that is. I guess we'll have to test that one day and get a box of Fruit Loops, you know. But anyway, check it out. Check out Toucan Sam and the old Pig Latin commercial that he did. And pretty interesting. But yeah, we got a great show. We're going to do the history of communication and from my point of view, from the Too Clever Mafia point of view. But yeah, some interesting stuff. And I've been in, you know, really wanting to kind of clear it up because I was talking to my grandson. And again, comes up with my grandson. And he didn't know what a beeper was or a pager. I said, really? I was like, wow, that much time has passed. And that was only in the 90s. So I guess, you know, the 90s is 30 years ago now. The beginning of, you know, 1990. That's pretty crazy. That's pretty crazy stuff right there. So either way, we got a great show for you coming up. And we're going to take a short break. Don't forget to subscribe to all our social medias and YouTube channel, as well as the usual, you know, sign up for our Twitter, Instagram, you know, follow us on there. We're really getting a really huge following over on Instagram, AJ. Did you notice that? Yeah. After our last post, we did, what was the last one? It was, I think it was Dogs versus Cats, really drummed up some interest. We got a little bit extra interest, but, either way, you can always head over to www.tooclevermafia.com. And listen to us. We're available on Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Breaker, Radio Public, Bullhorn, all of those. Don't forget to like and subscribe, folks. And yeah, maybe head over. We're getting a lot of likes on a lot of subscriptions on our Facebook and our Instagram. But our Twitter and our YouTube is a little light. So, you know, if you subscribe to one, subscribe to them all. We also we just give away a coffee mug and a couple of Too Clever Mafia stickers to a lucky winner who, we'll wait a little bit before we make the announcement of who won. But, yeah, so for subscribing to all of our platforms and commenting and liking, and, as long as you meet those qualifications, we'll send you out some free gear, some free mafia merchandise. Right, mafia merchandise. So we're going to take a short break. Got to pay the bills. And we will be right back. And we're going to dive right into our tech disruption episode. I like the title of that one. We're going to dive right into it after this short break. Welcome back, my Mafians. Hello, AJ. Welcome, everyone. We are in for a education lesson today. We're going to go into a little bit of Too Clever history. We are going to lead this off with what I call the tech disruption, which part one is going to be instant communication, which we're going to talk about. And this kind of started because my grandkids came to me and they said, Papa, Grandpa, usually they call me Papa or Grandpa or whatever. And they said, you know, we were having a discussion and the beepers came up and it came out that basically they didn't know what one was. They didn't know what a beeper was or a pager or anything like that. And I said, wow. I said, you know, that's kind of to me, that was a surprise. I mean, I did, you know, as generations go on and as you get older, you don't realize how the younger generation just doesn't know, just doesn't experience it. And you kind of have to look at it's difficult sometimes to look at things through someone else's eyes who's younger and doesn't have that experience, because you've progressed along the way and learned things and stages, and then looking back at the younger generations, they haven't experienced those things. And, you know, they will, but they haven't experienced, or they'll experience a whole different path, but they just don't know. They just don't know the information. It's kind of like, you know, as you get older, you do a lot better on Jeopardy, because you've just kind of been around the block. And, you know, I do a lot better now. Mrs. Mafia does 10 times better than me on Jeopardy. But either way, you kind of learn as you get older. So I think, you know, considering me my age, I feel like I should be smarter than I am, but I'm not. So, but either way, we're going to go into it a little bit, and a little bit of history today. So, you know, this is for entertainment purposes only. Of course, AJ wants me to put that little disclaimer in there, but this is my recollection. If I'm off on a date here or there, you know, excuse my memory, but it's going to be pretty much a little bit of an education on some of the tech that's around today. You know, we're going to go back and kind of go over some of the older tech, and then kind of where we are to today's what they call smartphones and cell phones of the modern day. So I'm going to dive right in here. And so, you know, mobile tech, really, what we was originally developed back in 1940s, what we kind of mobile calling, if you want to call it that, we'll say. But the first public cell phone actually ended up, first public cell phone call was way back in 1973. A group of inventors kind of went through it. And I'm not going to go into too much detail. These are all kind of separate book reports if you want to. If you want to look them up and get more details. But and then roughly in like 1979, satellite phones were designed originally for safety at sea, which was really the first system. And back in 1983 was really when the first consumer cell phone was sold. Did you know that, AJ? So you know, the history for mobile calling, or the technology behind mobile calling, goes way back to the 40s, but when it really hit mainstream was in the early 80s. That's what to remember here, folks. That's the main point. So early 80s, was, and then the first consumer cell phone, do you know who developed it, AJ? No? Take a guess. I mean, if you think back, Mafians, take a guess. I'll give you a couple of seconds here, like we're playing Jeopardy. But no, nobody. I think you got it right. Okay, so it's Motorola. Motorola was the first cell phone, and it sold for $3,995. That was in 1983. I mean, that was the price of a Buick probably back then. That's crazy. But yeah, so Motorola, who came and went in the business, and I think they're still around, but they're owned by, I don't even know who they're owned by. Are they owned by Google probably, or Microsoft, or I don't know. But anyway, you can look that up. But in the 1990s is really when kind of that instant communication started, because in the 80s, you know, late 80s, people start getting those, what they call bag cell phones, where cell phones were in a bag, and then you got really horrible reception, and it was like $9,000 a minute if you were to talk on it. Forget about texting. There was no texting really back then. But, you know, what happened was that instant communication with the cell phones that came around in the 80s, you know, mainstream couldn't afford it. You know, the regular consumer couldn't afford a $4,000, you know, Buick cell phone. So they had technology kind of developed and ended up coming up with pagers and beepers and things like that, that you use. If you were living in the 90s, you would have noticed, you know, first the doctors would have them, and unfortunately the drug dealers ended up with them. But that was the connotation back then. If you had a beeper, you were selling some dope, you know, but not the cool dope. You were selling dope, bad stuff, or something else. I don't know. But that decade started the revolution for pagers, and it started out with a regular, a Canadian company actually called RIM, Research in Motion, who eventually makes back Blackberries, but I'll get to that. They started the two-way paging, kind of in a clamshell device where you can type a little message and then you can send it to someone, and then they can, you know, if they had a similar device, they could send it back to you. But with regular pagers, what you would do is you would dial a number before they got too fancy. You would dial a number, you would call that person, you hear a little beep, and then you would key in the number you want them to call them back. And then eventually people
developed little codes, and then, you know, 911 called me an emergency if I put that in there or whatever it was. And then you develop little codes, and then people will call them back. And you would generally, if you were out and about, you would have to go to a payphone, right? Because you didn't have a cell phone. So you'd pull over, you'd get to a payphone, you put your quarter, your dime, your nickel, whatever it was in the payphone, you make your phone call and you call a person. And that was communication. That was, I mean, it was slow because, you know, you could always say you didn't get the page if you didn't want to talk to the person back, and you don't get that delivered message like you do now on your smartphone when you send a text message. But again, Research in Motion ended up coming out with this two-way device where you could send a little short message. I forget how many characters it was back then. And it was, but it was also became very popular again with doctors and emergency personnel because that instant communication, a doctor was off the clock, they needed help at the hospital, they get a page, they show up, right? Right, AJ? So, but then eventually every teen and every adult had a beeper, a pager, and they ended up coming in all shapes and sizes with different ringtones and all this other kind of stuff. And on a smaller scale, as far as the technology goes, it's a lot like what we see today with today's modern day smartphones. So that was kind of the pages. But by the end of the 90s, the pages were kind of on their way out. It was a very cheap to produce, and you would pay a monthly fee for this pager. And at times I think it was low as like $1 a month you'd pay and you would get, you know, this paging service. But in the '90s, at the same time over in Europe, they were developing a system called GSM, which was, I think it stands for like the global, I don't know. I'm going to say global system for mobile communications, but I'm probably wrong. It sounds right, but I'm probably wrong. So, and then those required a little SIM card, a little card to be put in your phone to kind of complete the circuit in your phone so you can make phone calls. And your phone number was stored on that little card, so you can kind of put that card in any phone, and then boom, you're activated on that network for that tower, kind of completed the circuit. And then they would sell them prepaid. They would, you know, you could go to a convenience, and this is mostly in Europe, you could do all of that. But in the U.S., you know, a couple of companies got together back then, and they decided, which turned out to be not the right thing, but back in the 90s, they decided that the U.S. is going to go a different route. They're going to use a different technology, not the GSM technology. They're going to use something called CDMA, which was their standard. And over the next 10 years or so, the U.S., they tried real hard to make CDMA the signal of choice, but it just didn't work because you had a lot of the influx from GSM. You had a lot of, the ability to just use a different phone where on the CDMA, and this might be getting boring for you, AJ, I don't know, but on the CDMA, you basically had to go through your phone provider, give them your serial number of your phone, and that's how you had to connect. So you couldn't just kind of switch on the fly if that's what you wanted to do. And the real tech people, you had to kind of stick with a monthly plan as well, where with the GSM, you could buy a card. It would have a certain amount of minutes. You put your little SIM card in there, and then you could work your phone until the battery died, and that was it, or until your minutes were gone or whatever you paid for. So the CDMA really didn't work in the U.S. because as time went on, technology got better. People wanted faster internet. They started doing more things on their phone. And, you know, although there's some debate of whether the CDMA signal is a clearer signal, it just ultimately couldn't handle the volume and the speed required as things went on. So we kind of shifted eventually away from that. But what happened during the 90s as well was, you'd think this would be a lot earlier because, as I said earlier, in the 40s, if you were paying attention, that's when the first kind of cell phone technology came out. But then after the paging, which was kind of going on in the 90s, or I guess during the paging, the first machine generated SMS, which is I think it stands for a short message service. Again, could be wrong, was sent in the UK. Back, this was December 3rd, 1992. I looked up that date, AJ. But followed by in 1993, again, this is approaching the mid-90s now, the first person-to-person SMS was sent, and this was done in Finland.
again, off of the GSM network. And then by the mid-90s, people wanted these things. They wanted them. They were very expensive for a monthly service. So a few companies really started to invent, you know, what they took the GSM model that was in Europe, which was basically a prepaid service, and they started migrating that over to the United States. And the United States then, by the late 1900s, really, there was a lot of prepaid options, so you didn't have a contract. Still very expensive, you know, compared to what today is. I think, I don't remember the pricing, but for 50 minutes a month, you had to pay like $20, $30 if you wanted to talk. But that's, while that was going on, you soon, the SMS, which kind of took over because it was cheaper. You would get a certain bucket of SMS and it was unlimited character. Well, it was the characters at that time, whatever money you could send. But that was kind of like became the communication method of choice among the young, and the trends kind of eventually spread across to all ages, because it was cheaper, and it was, if you wanted to be in the know, you know, instead of calling and you got rid of your beeper, you know, you didn't want to spend $45 to make a phone call for 1 minute. You got involved in the text message revolution, if you will, of the 90s. But then eventually, so we got the text message. Beepers were on their way out by the end of the 90s. But another thing that was going on was in 93, something called IBM Simon was introduced. And not many people are aware of this, but it was probably the world's first smartphone. You know, it was a mobile phone, it was a pager, it was a fax machine, it was a PDA, which was a public digital assistant. I think, again, terminology, I'm not 100%. All kind of all rolled into one. And it included your calendar, and if some of you folks might remember, that was a big thing. Your calendar, your address, your book had a clock on it, calculator, little notepad function, could do your email. It was also had a touchscreen, which was also revolutionary around that time. This was, you know, the mid-90s with a QWERTY keyboard. And IBM Simon also had a stylus, you know, a little pen that you can use to tap the touch screen. And it featured, you know, if you were typing a word, it would kind of auto-spell it for you. And it had these applications, or it was at least a way to deliver more of a featured kind of, I guess the application would be like your clock application. It wasn't really crazy applications like you think today when you go into your app store, but it also had a little memory card you can plug in it. I think it was like a 1.8 megabyte memory card, which is nothing. It was like bigger than a floppy disk was. Remember the floppy disks were originally 1.44 megabytes. So again, kind of teching it out or nerding it out or whatever with my past knowledge. But so anyway, the second generation, obviously the first generation of anything usually is just a, you know, we'll see how it works. Throw it against the wall and see if it sticks, right, AJ? But eventually it was available. It was available only on GSM networks, but eventually it did have to spread to CDMA networks, you know, and there were different drawbacks. The CDMA network at the time, which was, you know, very used the battery a lot more. So devices that were on the CDMA network didn't run as well. But text messaging kind of, these smartphones kind of developed with IBM Simon. But then in 1999, this is when the world changed. And the world changed not because it was becoming Y2K and everybody was prepping their barrels of food for the pending doom of the year 2000. But in 1999, the first BlackBerry was born. And the BlackBerry device was in itself revolutionary, because you know, there was a couple of iterations for IBM before. Again, Research in Motion kind of developed that, but it used a special network. It kind of used a paging network to send secure emails back and forth, and it hit the world by storm. Everybody wanted a BlackBerry. If any, you know, you could text, you know, with a full keyboard, you can send emails. I mean, the apps weren't as huge thing, but you can go to websites if it worked, because the internet was still pitiful back then. as far as speeds go. But then in 2002, the BlackBerry smartphone was born, and other companies started kind of making the smartphone where they entered these, I don't want to say it was a competition, but they entered these devices into the marketplace. I guess it was a competition, right? It's a competition to sell the phone and the device, but the companies like Palm, it was a Palm Pilot, came out, and you know, BlackBerry was just flying high. You couldn't have had a better device than if you had a BlackBerry, you were cool. You were cool back in the late 90s. But ultimately, the demise came for BlackBerry when the iPhone showed up. And you know, to make a long story short, if I'll do that, because I generally don't, but they just couldn't keep up with Apple in the App Store, and the developers spent their time creating apps for Apple and Google, and really not much for BlackBerry. And at first, BlackBerry tried to kind of spin it off and say, hey, you don't need apps with BlackBerry because BlackBerry is, you know, has full web browser capability. But people didn't want to buy it, and, you know, they didn't buy it. So, because they wanted the apps, they wanted those, you know, kind of reduced version of what I would need to do, you know, on the fly. And if I need to use my computer at home, I'll use my computer at home, you know, where now I think everything is done on your phone mostly, but it's kind of how that transpired. And then, and the speeds on cell phones just, again, weren't there really for that browsing capability on the BlackBerry, which in part is why apps were created to begin with, to be kind of a, like I said, like a Crib Notes version of the website themselves. But, so in 2008 was when the kind of the first mainstream iPhone hit the stands, so to speak. In 2008, you had your first iPhone. It was iPhone, I think it was 2G. You heard about all the G's and all of that. But so they kind of started with their, you know, their app store and their phone. And, you know, it wasn't, you know, it was an entry-level device. It was great, you know, top-of-the-line tech for those days. And then in the mid-2000s, an evolution began with the 3G. You heard the 3G. You probably heard of 3G. And the technology just began, you know, racing at that point. Everybody wanted 3G. And then all the major cell phone companies wanted to fine-tune their tech to get the internet working on these mobile devices, and they're dumping billions and billions of dollars into their networks. And by 2009, it had become clear that at some point, the 3G networks are going to be overwhelmed by the growth in bandwidth and the intensive applications and like streaming media. You know, everybody wanted to start watching videos and television on there in the late 2000s. So, also, this is when most of the U.S. U.S. finally admitted, oh, it was time to switch over to that GSM. They started realizing, hey, you know, Europe was onto something. We made a mistake. We should have went with GSM to begin with. We would be a lot further along and wouldn't have wasted billions of dollars on CDMA and other similar technology. But yeah, so that was kind of the big boom there. And then you had 2010 rolled in, and you had all the e-readers. Everybody from, you know, Amazon had the Kindle and the Nook and then Barnes and Nobles, and everybody had the all of that stuff. When, you know, devices started coming out with embedded wireless internet. Apple had announced plans for the iPad, which came out later, I think, in 2010. So ultimately, and I know this can get boring, but ultimately, if, you know, the last 10 years, it's been a battle for faster devices, better cameras, better screens, faster Bluetooth, so you can transfer things wirelessly. And then just connecting your devices and internet to everything, from your thermostat to your front door lights and your indoor lights and all of that. And, you know, this is what was called, I guess, the Internet of Things, so to speak, and speed and reliability, which used to be the leading competitive edge for these companies, were, you know, slowly diminishing as these companies started evening, you know, the playing field started becoming more even. You know, you tout you're the best network, but then eventually everybody was the best network. And, you know, most cell phones nowadays are going to work. They're going to be just as fast as any of us need. And, you know, for a long while, the thought process was we didn't have when I say we, the tech industry as a whole, it felt they didn't have to reinvent the wheel. You know, like BlackBerry and iPhone did. They just worked on making things better, seeing the shortfalls of the other companies, and improving on them slightly. And then year after year, you know, your iPhone comes out with marginal improvements over next year. And hey, we got one little extra feature and we're going to charge you another $1,000 for this device. But it was, I think now the equipment has become so similar and so close to each other. And the companies have become so similar. Really, I think we need another BlackBerry, you know, we need another iPhone invention. You know, what is going to be the next greatest thing that's going to hit the tech industry? Because, you know, you got to look out to the consumers and you got to say, hey, what the consumers need and what they want, we've got to give them, you know, we've got to come up. So, you know, the engineers are working on, I'm sure, different technologies and ways to make our lives better, as well as ways for those companies to make more money. Because if they're not growing, they're dying, you know, as the old saying goes. But they really can't live on those coattails of the great companies and the great products that came before them. They need to go out there and reinvent the wheel to have that future success. You know, you've heard of the 5G, and you've heard of the technology, you know, 3G, 4G, 5G, and, you know, all the commercials are everywhere in the U.S. And, you know, the first 5G kind of started back in, I think it was 2019. They started introducing the telephone technology for 5G. Is it telephone or telephony? I don't know. But, you know, every company's bragging. They're all like, you know, I got the most coverage. I got the 5G first, blah, 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 blah. Nobody cares. Really don't. You know, 5G is just the next version of a cellular mobile telephone standard. So, you know, 5G can, I think, travel. You can do download speeds like 1 gigabyte per second. Can you believe that? My first computer was 2 gigabytes, the hard drive. You know, I think this was the 90s, whatever. And that would include the operating system, all the programs, everything I had, and 2 gigs. And now you could transfer 1 gigabyte per second with this 5G. And what do you need that for on your mobile device? What are you doing that you need 5 gig transfer data? You know, I understand eventually probably we won't have like cable wires coming into the house. Everything will be broadcast from either a telephone pole or who knows, a satellite. I know cell phones come from cell phone towers. I don't think they do satellite cell phone transmissions unless you have a satellite phone. But eventually, everything will be outside your home. It'll just be you broadcasting locally, and it'll just be kind of a universal thing. You know, I know at home, with my home phone, I have a cordless phone, right? And then has different frequencies on it, and you try to, like, buy different frequencies. And on your Wi-Fi, you have your 2.4, and then your 5, right? I don't know if it's gigahertz, megahertz, whatever. But I know the 2.4 is slower, but I can go further away from it in my home. And on the 5, I can go... less, I have to stay closer to get a good reception, but it's faster. So I guess that's how the 5G compared to the 4G, you have to be closer to these towers or this technology because it's faster, but you probably have to be closer. So they have to put towers, I guess, in more of a closer location from what I understand. So eventually 12G, you'll have a tower in every room. So I don't know how that's going to work. And then you wonder, hey, is this 5G technology healthy? Are these radio waves frying my brain? What's left of it? I don't know. That's a whole nother conversation. We got to kind of, someone's got to figure out because this stuff has got to be safe and makes you a little concerned because if there's so much money in this and this is the future technology that all these big companies are riding upon, is this stuff really safe? And would, if it wasn't, would they tell us? Would they say, yeah, no, we're going to shut off all the cell phones, go back to 2G because anything above that is, you know, is causing horrible health problems for everyone. You know, would they tell us that? I don't know. I don't know who they are, but I don't know if I can trust them. Right, AJ? Would you tell me? If I said, you know, AJ, we got this new microphone and, you know, I got to use it, but it might cause something, you know, something in my brain to go screwy. Are you going to, you're going to switch it out to an older microphone that I don't sound as good? You would. Well, I don't sound... Okay, well, he said, I don't sound good anyway. Well, that was a bad example, AJ. But once again, that's why you don't have a microphone, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see next season. I think I'm going to require it in your new contract, if you get one. You know, everybody's replaceable, AJ. There's a lot of people looking for jobs out there. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. AJ's job is safe, folks. You no reason to send in your resume just yet. Unless you bring your own equipment and bring a microphone. So, we're going to take a short break. We're going to come back with the internet. Okay, so hopefully you enjoyed our little history of the cell phones. If you have any questions, you can always tweet us at Too Clever Mafia. You can check out our website, www.tooclevermafia.com. Subscribe to all our social media feeds, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, of course. Leave some comments, folks. Like I said earlier, you know, we need those, YouTube and Twitter? Definitely need those. I think a lot of people are signing up for Facebook and Instagram and they're subscribing and liking and chatting, but let's get a balance. Let's get a good potpourri of the social media subscriptions for everyone. It doesn't cost anything, right? And obviously you can listen to us, which you probably are right now on one of the major podcast networks, Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Breaker, Radio Public, Bullhorn. And if you'd like to support our site, you can always click over on our Anchor and hit the support button. And we'd love to see all the donations that come in and all the kind words and everybody that's been helping support the channel. It's been a real privilege to be here and answer your questions and really get the feeling that everybody really is enjoying the stuff that we're putting out there. We're trying to keep a good balance for everyone so there'll be something for everyone. And we will take a short break. We will be right back with our chapter 2, if you want to call it. And we're going to go over the internet. This is some hot topics coming up here, but I'll just give you a little tip. It's going to be a lot about American Online and CompuServe. And have a little CompuServe chatter going on, right? So play me some outro music, AJ, and we will be right back after this short break. Well, hello. Thank you once again, AJ, for another great intro. Hello, Mafians. Hello, new listeners. Hello, everyone. This is your host, Too Clever Mafia, my wonderful, I still don't know your job title, AJ. I'm going to say you're the sound booth guy for now, but he's the producer, he helps with the writing, he helps with the sound effects, the editing, a little bit of everything, but AJ is over there in the sound booth, and you're welcome back once again to the Too Clever Mafia podcast, and our first part, the instant communication of the internet. A lot of numbers, AJ, a lot of history behind it, but I found it to be educational. A bit long, maybe a bit wordy, but hey, it's a podcast. What else do you have to do but listen to words? I mean, I could put up all the graphics in the world. You're not going to see anything, right? But this one's going to be fun. I mean, not that the last one wasn't fun. It was fun. Very educational. This is going to be about the internet, and this is the internet from my point of view. So we're going to call this the internet's clever beginnings. And basically, I mean, we're not going to go into everything, but some of the interesting history of the internet, you know, that we've gone through over the, you know, have experienced in my long tenure on this big rock. I've experienced a lot of different things and worn a lot of different hats, right, AJ? Not like you do over in the sound booth, but we're going to talk a little bit about the internet, and though you might learn a thing or two, right? But don't forget to subscribe and like to all our social medias. It's at Too Clever Mafia over on Facebook, Twitter, definitely. We need some more people over there. Instagram's blowing up at Too Clever Mafia. Be a part of that action going over there. We also have YouTube. Also, need some more subscribers over on the YouTube channel. We're going to start doing videos soon. So, also, if you like, subscribe to all of our social medias, at least three of the major platforms, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, you know, and YouTube. I'm sorry, all four of the major, AJ is telling me, all four of the major platforms that we're on. And you at least one comment on one of our
videos or likes that on one of our posts, then you're eligible to win a prize. You can win some Two Clever Mafia merch. And we've already had some three or four winners now, AJ, since we started this thing. And we got some new merch over there. Check the link in the description. You can head over to, we have some on Teespring, and then we're using another, what is the name of the new site, AJ? That's right, that's right. It's called Stream Elements, Stream Elements. So you go over to Stream Elements, and it's Two Clever Mafia. And obviously, you want to donate, you can definitely go over to Anchor and anchor.fm/Two Clever Mafia. And we're available on all of the major podcast sites, obviously. The usual Spotify, Google Podcast, Anchor, of course, and Apple Podcast, Breaker, Radio Public, Bullhorn. And let's get this show on the road. The internet, right? The internet has been around for the most part. You know, there's little sketchy details on this, but for the most part, it's been around since the 1960s. There was a firm, again, to get technical, but Advanced Research Project Agency. It was a government firm. ARPA, it was funded by the United States Department of Defense, and I don't know if it was part of it or not. I'm not really sure, but I think it was kind of like one of those private entities, maybe not, but, it kind of worked into, initially it was more of a funded project, but it was like a time sharing of computers back in the 60s and early 70s. And there were people doing independent research of all kinds on how to transmit data back and forth. And that kind of developed eventually into the modern day internet with that interest in how to transmit that data. You know, we had said previously the cell phone stuff started in the 40s. So technically communication, you know, was before, you know, the internet, obviously. It would make sense because if you're going to be on the internet, it is a form of communication, but it's more of an advanced form. So anyway, in about 1989, you know, with the steady advances in technology created by, it created new economic opportunities for commercial folks and commercial involvement in expanding this. And it was, you know, a worthwhile investment for them to expand these networks, these internets. Do you hear me, AJ? These internets. I was reaching to get myself something to drink and my soda, and I said these internets. But 1 second here. Usually I like to edit those drink sessions out, but... Oh, I am thirsty. Ooh, what is this? A new kind of pop beverage you got me here? Anyway, I'm sorry. I forgot we're doing a show today. But anyway, so the expansion in these networks obviously was the driver behind the economic interest in these companies getting involved, and they wanted to deliver these services to the public, right? They're gonna make money. So in mid-89, it was a company called MCI, which is a phone company. I think they were then bought by a company called Sprint and all this kind of, but anyway, I don't know why I'm so fast. AJ's like, well, you know all this about the different companies. I said, well, you know, I was very interested in there were a lot of different players in telecommunications, and there were a lot of different players in the internet industry and all of that. And a lot of them ended up merging into just a handful, but it was interesting at the time. Everybody was trying to keep their head above water, but also get out in front of the line. And MCI was one of them. A company called, I think it was MCI Mail, maybe they called themselves back then, and a company called CompuServe, which you may have heard of if you're a little bit older. And they established connections to the internet, delivering email to the public. And they delivered email to the public and produced to about 500,000 users back then, which connected to the internet. And just a couple months later, I think it was January of 1990, give or take, there's a company called PSINet, and they launched an alternative internet backbone for commercial use. And years later, it was known as a T1 connection, which was fancier than your normal modem connection, which back then was, 36K, they called it, and 56K was the phenomenal super speed over the telephone line. But T1 connection was the high speed and higher cost, of course, internet for business. Back in the early 90s, I guess, is when this came about. But in 89 also, before we go along to the next phase, I guess you can say, another one, IBM's technology, which was AOL, officially came around in 89. And here it goes. It gave us that dial-up internet connection, really turbocharged the internet, and where your computer was using a modem to call, hopefully a local number, or it cost you a ton of money back then in phone bills, but you would connect to another server, I guess you would dial into the internet and make sure nobody else picked up any extensions in your home or you lost the connection. But when you finally would dial in, especially in its heyday, as it got more busier, more popular,
goodbye.
It was very hard to get, you know, they kept coming out with more and more local numbers, so you didn't get charged a huge amount in the phone bill. But you would connect into their software. It was a user interface, and you would get your email, your news. You could chat with others through IM back then, where instant messaging. Yep, that's the sound, AJ. And you would connect to friends and relatives on the other end, and they would type back, and you meet new friends, all that kind of stuff. And it gave us all access to what, you know, was minimal compared to what it was today of the World Wide Web. And AJ didn't know that. And it was a disc. It was a CD that you would get in the mail. Originally, it was on floppy disk, which is like a square disk called, and you get a bunch of them. But eventually it came in a CD, it was in the mail, or you would find them in computer magazines or some places where like Barnes and Nobles would have a stack on the counter, and then you would just, Circuit City or CompUSA, I don't know if they were around even back then, but they, you would just pick up a free disk and you would put the latest software on, the latest version, because there was no over-the-air internet downloads to update to the latest software. And you had to get that disk, yeah. You had to go out, you had to find that internet disk to be able to use the AOL service. And it very, very quickly grew and became the largest online service. I mean, it pushed aside all their competitors at that time, which were, I think CompuServe was a big one, and it pushed them right aside. And 1995, you know, only about 4 or 5 years later, it was leading the way. It had 3 million users nationwide. I mean, it doesn't sound like much because now even the smaller cell phone companies have 10, 20 million users. But back then, 3 million was tops. And AOL bought a company called Netscape, you might remember. And ultimately, they created the web browser to compete with Microsoft's Internet Explorer. But in 2000, at the height of its popularity, AOL purchased the old Time Warner in one of the largest mergers in U.S. history. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, AOL was rocking. They were rocking. And I think it was like over $160 billion. I mean, who had that kind of going back then? I don't know, but I guess AOL did. But then things started to make a turn. AOL rapidly declined from grace after that. The decline led up mostly because of the decline in dial-up internet. And people started using broadband. They would buy their own service, and then they wouldn't use AOL's dial-up service. You would just use AOL's... I forget what they called it back then. It was I don't remember now. Oh boy. You would drop down and you wouldn't dial. You would use your own internet, your own IP, and you would use through their internet, and you would still connect through AOL's, you know, service and their user interface. But you would use your own broadband. But people started realizing, hey, I don't need AOL anymore. I can connect directly to the Internet Explorer browser without it. And I didn't need the AOL bloated software, which I got to tell you, I had AOL back in the day. And AOL, if you had a problem, it tore up your computer pretty bad. You know? Yeah. It was like, I don't know how to explain it in today's world, but it just took over everything. Everything. You know? And kind of virus programs did that back in the day too. The antivirus programs, I should say. There were a lot of them. But what do they call it now? Bloatware? Yeah. But AOL software was a bloatware, I guess, eventually. And then, you had all that, along with, you know, in the late 90s, like we talked about in the previous segment, you had the cell phones started coming along. Then you had, text messaging, which was huge with AOL, the instant messaging. But then now you had text messaging, which was basically instant messaging on a cell phone. And, mobile email with the BlackBerrys started working out in the, that stuff started coming. The internet started getting a little faster on the mobile devices. And in 2009, AOL was eventually spun off from Time Warner, and they went on to invest in their media brands and their advertising technology, and that was all she wrote, folks, at that point. And in 2015, it was about 5 years ago or so, AOL acquired by Verizon for only $4.4 billion. Remember, they bought Time Warner for $160 billion back then. That was crazy. So they AOL basically got a fire sale. You know, basically Verizon purchased AOL just to get their marketing and their media potential and, well, their email customers, which AOL is still around. Believe it or not, we still have an AOL email address. It's Mafia and I, and kind of keeping it for prosperity. But when you go in someplace and you say, hey, when they ask you for your email address, you know, and I've had a couple of dirty looks, and they say, hey, you really still have an AOL? Is this some sort of fake thing? But no, it's real. It's a real email. But so Verizon, in 2018, only a couple of years, basically. I mean, they bought it in 2015, and in 2018, they said the parts of AOL, you know, obviously was still alive with the AOL.com. I think it was the Huffington Post, MSN, and a company called TechCrunch. Might have heard of that if you're in the tech business. I think they were worth $200 million on paper. And that included Yahoo, I think, at the time. And this ultimately meant AOL was worthless at that point, because after write-offs and taxes and other financial obligations they had at the time, there was just no money at all in AOL. So, but now on the internet, you know, you have a service provider, and you go on the internet and you're free to do whatever you want. You don't have to necessarily, you know, a lot of the websites that we used to go to have apps, and the apps are getting better every day, right? And the apps, you can do pretty much whatever you want on them for the most part. I mean, there's some things sometimes I'm like, oh boy, I need to do this. You know what I can't find, AJ? There was an app, what was it? I don't know. There was a financial app. I'm not going to say the name of it. But there was a financial app I had, and I had gotten an email, right? And with the financial app, it said, you know, update your data. And I'm like, wait a minute, I don't have this app. And financial apps are scary. I don't want my stuff out there, you know, all my millions. So right. Well, I don't, yeah. Why don't I pay you more then? No, well, you've got to earn it, AJ. When you've been doing as long as I have, then you'll earn it. But until then, you know, how much? Well, I can't share how much I make with you. That would be right. Let me see. I'm going to pick a number. I'm going to find a number, and I'm just going to say a number. And then you're going to say, well, does he really make that much? Or is it possible? Because if I say like $10 million a year, you'll be like, no, he's full of it. But if I said like $20,000 a year, no, he makes more than that. So I'm going to pick a number. I'm going to pick a number and go, I don't know, let's pick... I'm going to say 1.8 million. That's how much I get paid. How's that sound? No, not believable? Well, you know, if I didn't drive I drive an economy car. Well, that has nothing to do with my wealth. I drive an economy car for the gas mileage. Why would I, you know, I don't need to drive a Mercedes or a BMW or a Maserati. I can perfectly well drive my Japanese car. Anyway. Well, we'll move along from that, AJ. I'll just say I work for free. Would you believe that? No? Okay. Well, all right. Well, I don't. So anyway, so the internet. Yeah. Well, no. So the internet has come a long way, folks. And those of you that remember AOL, they were the pioneers. I mean, they were the thing. And then now it's more, I mean, is the internet really, it's just, okay, who's going to provide it to you? Which service provider are you going to get the best internet connection from? And then what you do on the internet is your own business. It's no longer, you don't need a user interface. You go, you know, whoever you want your homepage to be, whether it's Google or Bing or, you know, one of the other ones. I don't know what other ones there are right now, but, you know, you do your search engines and you find your information and you do what you have to do. And you ever, you know, you think of the internet now, I mean, you can search anything, any subject, any topic, and you'll find an answer for it on the internet. And, you know, you ever think, how do all of these answers get there? You know, who published them? You know, because I don't think I've ever published an answer on there. I mean, I published, you know, podcasts and whatnot, but I don't think I've ever went on and said, hey, you know what? I'm going to put this up there. So if anybody's searching for it, they can find this answer to this question. So I would imagine there's a network somewhere that does that, whether it's Google automatically or there's people. Yeah, I'd love to find out more information about that because someone's answering all these questions, AJ. I'd like to get that person on the show, to be honest with you. They know everything. You think they're more than one person? Yeah. Well, good, AJ. I'm glad. I'm glad I didn't trick you on that the previous statement there. But yeah, so the internet is crazy, and hopefully you weren't expecting more of a detailed tech information. But you got those out there that remember AOL, and you know, you really were the pioneers of the internet. I think some of you might have seen, like, there was dial-up for CompuServe, and I don't even know what they used the internet for. I guess email and communications. Instead of sending a fax, I would imagine you would, you know, use the internet early on for email. And I don't know if it took 12 days to send it or not, but yeah. So that's where we're at with the internet, folks. Anybody has any questions about anything I said today or any corrections, feel free not to let me know because pretty much that's how I remember it. But if there are any corrections or anything you'd like to add, you seriously can post them on the YouTube, on the comment section when the video posts up there, or go to Twitter. Don't forget to subscribe and, you know, become a follower on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or any of the ones that we tend to frequent. I'm looking here right now. I just, this was a saying that I found, and I will leave you all before I head off to the next segment to ponder this. And don't know, someone said it. I was in we're back to outdoor dining back in New Jersey, by the way, where we are. And I've been going, you know, occasionally being safe and going out and getting some food now that I can, because my cooking isn't that good. And I heard someone talking to somebody else at the next table. It was 6 feet away, more than that, so it was a little bit difficult, but I'm pretty sure the saying went like this. They said to the other person, he said, "Don't blame a clown for acting like a clown. Ask yourself why you keep going to the circus." Visit us over at www.twoclevermafia.com, and we will be right back after this short break. Welcome back. Thank you again, AJ. And we're going to wrap up today. I hope everybody enjoyed our Clever's history of telecommunications. And the second part was mostly the internet, which really kind of went all around America Online and AOL. So hope everybody enjoyed that today. And I'm going to leave. I've got these words of wisdom. You know, everybody seems to like them when I leave them for your listening pleasure on our podcast. But this is a little something I read. I also thought it was very interesting. It was from a person named Victor Hansen. He was works over at the Hoover Institute. And I don't know, I don't know if it matters, but he's a senior fellow over there. And I think this was like an op-ed publication quite a while ago. But he said, "Be a builder, a pioneer, not a regulator, auditor, bureaucrat, a censor, critic, plaintiff, defendant, social media junkie, or a thick-skinned scold. A distant generation created, we mostly delay, idle, and gripe." And basically, it's, to sum it up, I kind of take that as, you know, do something. You know, be a builder, be a pioneer. Don't, anybody can complain about anything these days, and you can take one side or the other in any argument. But instead of taking one side or the other, why not do something, you know? Instead of complaining about people littering, go pick up some litter on the beach. Instead of, you know, complaining about the environment, you know, stop using plastic bottles. Do something that will make a difference. And you don't have to tell anybody. You don't have to do it for any type of, you know, showcase. Or just do it. You know, be that person. You know, go out and create something. Don't complain about it. You know, be a solution to the problem. Don't become the problem. But that's my too clever daily dose of cleverness, which I haven't done in a while, AJ. No. Yeah. I haven't done my daily dose of cleverness. Well, we'll take that as my, even though I didn't, you know, I kind of took it from somebody else. That's going to be my daily dose of cleverness for today. So, I know earlier we talked about, we have new face masks you can purchase, you know? Yeah. We got new, Too Clever Mafia face masks for those that want to go around and help support the channel. But you can head over to our new site over on Stream Elements, it's called. It's a streamelements.com, and then we're Too Clever Mafia there. Or you can definitely check us out over at Teespring. It's www.teespring, it's TEESPRING.com/2CleverMafia. Or, again, same thing, you can go over to Stream Elements, and it's Too Clever Mafia there. And the masks are on Stream Elements, if you're interested. And another thing I've been asked is, everybody wants to know, we're no longer doing Patreon. We've dropped them. They've gotten some bad press, and we don't want our listeners involved in that. So for you, we've switched over to, you could just go over to, anchor.fm/2clevermafia. And there's a support button there. You can just hit the support button, and you can donate to our show if you like. Our Patreon stuff, all of our donations that we do appreciate. All of our donations that folks that have donated over there, some have signed up for monthly automatic donations. We're going to be canceling those. So we've notified those who have signed up, but we're going to be canceling those, and it's going to be transferred just over to Anchor. We're just going to work with them. We love Anchor, and they're not to, you know, they are a paid sponsor of ours. This isn't a paid advertisement for them, but they've been nothing but good to us. So we're just going to switch everything over there. So you can also head over to www.2clevermafia.com, and don't forget, and I know we've talked about this a lot, we'll take a moment if you need it. Head over to Twitter, head over to Instagram, head over to Facebook, head over to YouTube right after you listen to this. Well, when you can do it safely, if you're driving on the road, don't do it right away, but, subscribe to our channels. Like, follow, all of our social media groups, the four of them. Like I said, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and, Facebook, and like, or subscribe and subscribe, or sorry, like and comment on one of our, videos, the most current video, AJ. Okay. So it has to be the most current video. So, when you're listening to this, it would be this video, or, you know, like and subscribe, but leave a comment, just say, hey, you know, I want to win some free merchandise for those who don't know. And, you know, we're going to pick a winner. We've done, three or four now, and, you know, we'll just get your information. We'll send it out to you, and, you'll get a surprise in the mail one day. It does take 7 to 10 business days. So if you're waiting for something, know that it's on its way. All right. There's some shipping delays because of what's going on in the world. And I want to say thank you to all my listeners over in Ireland, the land of Ire. We, you know, we get I don't know what our numbers are, AJ, but out of 1,000 people, we'll say about 130 or so. And of course, this is going to be multiplied, but about 13% or so are coming from Ireland. So thank you to my fellow folks on the land of Ire that are listening to us, and, you know, tell your friends to sign up, subscribe, listen to our podcast. We love that our word is spreading. If there's any particular subjects you'd like Too Clever to tackle, feel free to drop us a line, and, it only takes a moment. Don't feel that we're not going to get your comment either. You could drop us an email, tooclevermafia@gmail.com. They go into our email, and we go through them, and as long as it's not spam and it comes to us, I read them all. So if you'd like to get something across, definitely don't hesitate to send us an email, a suggestion, or something you'd like us to talk about. And but I think that wraps it up for today. Don't forget to listen to us. We're available everywhere. Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Breaker, Radio Public, Bola Horn. Like and subscribe on the podcast as well. It helps us out. And I hope everybody enjoyed our show today. We'll be back again next week like we always... We were here every Friday. So, you know, check us out every Friday. We'll be here for your listening pleasure. So, thank you so much for watching and listening. And that's all I have to say about that. Be well, Mafians. Bye-bye for now.